It all started with a tweet over 2 years ago, with the tweet that you now see here on your screen from the WWE guy on Twitter. I mean, that's a sense of irony right there, that of all things, it was a guy called the WWE guy. May 16, 2017, in a tweet to Dave Meltzer, asking him, do you think that ROH can ever sell out an arena with 10,000 plus fans? Something like Madison Square Garden. And then, of course, Meltzer's response, not any time soon. That was Meltzer's response. Cody saw fit to jump in on this little discussion here between these two. He was wrestling for Ring of Honor at the time, among other places. He saw it as a challenge. He said, I'll take that bet, Dave. I already gave them their biggest buy rate. Put the Bucks and I on the card. Give us 3 months to promote it. Took a little bit longer than 3 months. Took 16. But with some help behind the scenes from ROH, they helped produce the biggest independent wrestling event of all time. They put over 10, actually it was about 11,000 people in the Sears Center in Chicago last year for All In. Earlier this year, Ring of Honor did sell out Madison Square Garden, although New Japan had a lot to do with that, as well as all the people who bought tickets to the show thinking that the members of the Elite would be in attendance. But nevertheless, they sold out MSG with 16,000 people. And here we are now, 869 days later after that very first tweet, and we just witnessed the debut of AEW on TNT. The last time professional wrestling aired on TNT, just to give you a sense of how long it's been, Sting wrestled Ric Flair on WCW's final spring break edition of Monday Nitro. That was March of 2001, 18 years ago. The Twin Towers were still standing. iTunes had just been released for the first time 2 months earlier. That's how far back you'd have to go to find weekly pro wrestling TV on TNT. And that all changed tonight with AEW Dynamite. This is the start of the new Wednesday Night War. Call it whatever you want to. I was flipping between this and NXT on USA. It's been a while since I had a flip between wrestling shows like that. I had forgotten how annoying it really is. I know a lot of you were doing double TVs. You had AEW on TV and then NXT on your mobile or your tablet. I couldn't do that. I gotta put all my focus here, one thing at a time. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. I am Orange Cassidy. I am the Solo Monster. Almost caught myself there. Super chats are open for those who wish to donate in the chat. FYI, you may do so. Those are always appreciated. I'm not going to get into NXT spoilers here, just because there could be people listening to this right now who are going to go back after the review tonight. Tomorrow, they're going to watch NXT. Maybe they don't want to be, you know, spoiled as far as who showed up or what happened. I may drop little very vague references here and there. I really didn't catch too much of NXT, so my knowledge of what happened there is going to be very limited. But you don't have to worry about me giving away any spoilers here, if that's what you're worried about. 14,129 was the announced attendance for AEW tonight. They were at the Capitol Center in Washington, D.C. They said they were sold out, although people were tweeting photos of some blocks of seats that were empty, but the building was pretty much full. And a very lively crowd, which is always appreciated. Whenever you're watching a wrestling show, you want them to be up, which I'm sure was not a problem at Full Sail tonight. I said this about NXT when they came to USA. I said this a couple weeks ago. I think the show would have benefited those first 2 weeks on USA from more short vignettes showing people who these guys are, who these women are, giving more mic time to some of the newer faces, the newer members of the roster. It was just, you know, NXT was all wrestling those first 2 weeks and not much else. There were, you know, no promos and skits or anything like that. And that's good, I suppose, for a week or two, but in the long term, it's got to be more than just match after match after match. I'll say the same thing tonight about AEW in that I think the show could have benefited from some more vignettes, short ones, beyond the ones that they did show us. There's time for that moving forward, but you know, you've got a new audience out there. They want to know who the hell these people are. You know, how many people are tuning in know who, you know, Hangman Page is or MJF or any of these people? So you had people maybe sampling the show tonight for the first time who are going to be curious who these people are. Hopefully that's something they'll incorporate into the show as the weeks go on. I think they could have done a little bit more with that. But, you know, I get it. I get it. Head-to-head tonight, you don't want to turn people away. You don't want to throw it to too many vignettes. We had Jim Ross, Excalibur, and Tony Schiavone on the call. I thought on the whole the announcing was good. Jim Ross, I thought, did as good a job as he has done on any of the AEW shows so far. It is not, you know, the Jim Ross from the Attitude Era, I mean, the energy. Look, he's an older guy. You know, people think back to that era with him and the King and all those classic JR calls. You know, you're talking 1997, 1998. Over 20 years ago. But there were some AEW shows where he sounded almost irritated. He sounded kind of tired, cranky. I didn't get that vibe from him tonight. So I thought, as far as JR goes, he did a better job of being JR, of being what people would have expected. Excalibur, I think, is very good in his position. And then there's Tony Schiavone. Now, I was very excited when I found out that Tony Schiavone had signed to come back to weekly pro wrestling. We didn't know exactly what his role was going to be on the show. And in the last couple of weeks, it became very obvious, just the way that Cody and Tony Khan were kind of dancing around it. They were going to put JR and Schiavone together. And the last time JR and Schiavone called a show together, you probably have to go back to what? 1988? 1989? Crockett or NWA? It's been a long time. I thought Tony Schiavone did a great job on the show tonight. I really did. I really enjoyed just hearing his voice back on TNT tonight. So he was one of the highlights, I think, of the show for me. First match, Cody, Sammy Guevara. We knew that was going to be the opening match. Cody was massively over in the building. He is a star to this audience. He could do no wrong with these people. They were going crazy for everything he was doing. He did a dive out to the floor at one point. Guevara pulled Brandy in front of him. Cody collided with her. She got her revenge a little bit later. She clocked Sammy from, through the ropes behind the referee's back. Disaster kick by Cody. Guevara kicks out. Top rope Spanish fly by Sammy. Cody kicks out. Guevara connects with a shooting star press, but Cody gets the knees up and cradles him for the win. I thought this was a very good opener. I really did. I mean, the crowd was into it. Sammy, this was, I think we knew this going in, that this was going to be more, I think, of a breakout for Sammy than Cody. Cody did not do anything in this match out of the ordinary that you wouldn't expect from a Cody Rhodes match. And that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but if anybody was going to really stand out, it was going to be Sammy. And I thought he did. He was flying around. He was hitting all of his moves. He was, you know, I think the perfect person to put in the opening match, not unlike what you would see on Nitro with the Cruiserweights back in the day. All action, fast-paced action. I think they went 20 minutes before they even took a commercial break. But in the end, Cody gets the win because he's the one challenging Jericho for the championship at Full Gear next month. So they send Schiavone down to the ring to interview Cody after the match. Cody gives him a hug. A lot of history there between the Rhodes family, Tony Schiavone. In fact, it was Cody who really was responsible for bringing in Schiavone, and Schiavone, I know he holds that family and Cody's mom in very high regard. So he gave him a big old hug. Before Tony could interview him, Sammy comes over. Looks like he's going to attack, puts his hand out to shake his hand. And from behind comes Chris Jericho. So at this point, they cut to commercial. I flip over for the first time to NXT. And I'm not going to name names. I said I'm not going to give away any spoilers. But this is where I saw the big return to Full Sail of a big name. And I will definitely have more to say about that when I get into NXT on the Sound Up this Sunday. So when they come back from break, Jericho had set up two chairs on the outside, power bombs Cody on top of them, retreats up the ramp, he gives Schiavone a shove. This is a very eventful night for Tony Schiavone. Schiavone was all over this show. He was at the desk, he was in the ring, he was on the ramp. He was getting pushed around. I mean, no complaints out of me. Like I said, I like having him back on live TV. but he was everywhere. So then we get MJF and Brandon Cutler. MJF got some mic time, loud asshole chants, maybe the biggest asshole in all of wrestling. Shivani was very blunt in his feelings towards MJF, which should be no surprise if you've been following along the way MJF talks to him on those Road 2 videos on their YouTube channel. Shivani said, "I want to see Cutler shut this little prick's mouth." Doesn't get any more straight than that. MJF was yelling at Cutler, this isn't Dungeons and Dragons. This is real life. Got the D&D community all riled up at him a few weeks ago. Cutler hit a tope through the ropes, out to the floor. Back inside, he's selling it like he may have tweaked his knee. Didn't matter in the end. MJF put him in the salt of the earth armbar, tapped him out, got the win. So, we didn't get much out of MJF. I mean, they gave him a win here on the first show. MJF is going to be one of those guys going forward, I think, who can be one of the more entertaining parts of the show outside the ring. You know, I was kind of hoping they would play off this whole D&D thing and have him do skits with some of the nerds backstage and blow up on him or sort of pretend like he wants to learn how to play, and then, of course, he really doesn't. I mean, there's any number of things they could do with him, and I look forward to seeing what they have in mind, but again, I think his value is as much outside the ring as it is inside. So then we see my boy, Chris Van Vliet, good dude, making his TNT debut. He was ringside to interview Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith, and Jason Mewes, talking about their new Jay and Silent Bob reboot coming out in 2 weeks. You know, I've never seen any of the Jay and Silent Bob movies. I don't know if that's sacrilege. I don't know if I should be saying that, if people are going to be pissed off at me now. I've never seen them. I say them plural. I mean, I don't even know how many there have been. I assume there must be more than one. I've never seen Jay and Silent Bob. I don't know why. I mean, is it funny? I'll happily go see it if you guys think it's funny. But I never saw it. But there they are promoting their new film. And in the as this is going on, I was just looking at the chat. A lot of messages going. It's impossible for me to keep track of all the messages in the chat. We'll get back to that in a second. Out comes Jack Evans and Angelico. They come out to confront Jay and Silent Bob, and they're teasing that they're ready to throw down. We're about to have a match. This would have been really awful. But thankfully, Private Party shows up. They're in street clothes. They show up in the front row. Chase off Angelico and Evans. Private Party will be wrestling the Young Bucks next Wednesday, part of the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament. Private Party, if you've never seen them before, you probably have on some of the recent AEW shows. I've had the privilege of even calling some of their matches for House of Glory here in New York. They're an incredible team to watch, and they're going to do big things, I'm sure, in AEW. I'm not saying they're going to win the tournament, because I don't think they will. But they're going to be one of the hotter, I think, tag team acts in the company going forward. And, you know, let me just stop there for a second. I was a big fan of Evans and Angelico and their work and what they were doing, not together, but separately, in Lucha Underground. So I don't want to kind of put them on the side as though they're chopped liver and they don't mean anything. They're also a very big part, I think, of that tag team division. I don't know that they've won a match yet, but I said this a while back, the tag team division, I would put the tag team division in AEW against any tag team division anywhere in wrestling right now, and that includes WWE. One of the biggest strengths of this brand right now, it's not their women's division, it's their tag team division. So that's going to be something to watch going forward. We had Jim Ross, at that point he was cutting away to promote the tag team title tournament. Threw it to an SCU vignette. Here's one of those vignettes that we did get. They were outside on the streets of DC. Back inside, Tony Schiavone's on the ramp there to interview them. It was at this point that I realized when I saw Tony on the ramp, and even earlier when they sent him in the ring, he now has the role of Gene Okerlund from Nitro. The old role that Mean Gene Okerlund had on Nitro, where he'd get in the ring after a match and interview somebody, or he'd be, you know, on just off the ramp by the stage. That, apparently, based on this show, is now the role assumed by Tony Schiavone, who does not look nearly as old as Gene Okerlund did back then when he was doing this on Nitro. So SCU is doing an interview. They're going to be facing the best friends, Beretta and Chucky T, in 2 weeks. Pentagon and Phoenix, they come out to confront them. Breaks down into a brawl. Officials are out to break it up, including Dean Malenko. Jim Ross points out that the Iceman is out there, part of the official crew behind the scenes in AEW. I was really bummed to hear that he's battling Parkinson's disease, which there had been some rumors about it. He did a shoot interview. It might have been with RF Video. And I saw some clips, and this is going back about a month or so. And I remember watching it, and he was shaking. And just the way that he was shaking, it was obvious to me. I said, something's wrong here. I didn't know it was Parkinson's, but clearly there was something wrong. And then I guess during one of the StarCast panels over All Out Weekend, he admitted that he is suffering from Parkinson's. So that sucks. You know, it's a shitty disease. I mean, I guess no disease is not shitty. Parkinson's is one of the more terrible ones, but very cool to see him out there and to see him involved here on this show. Let me check what's going on here in the chat. I want to give a shout-out to everybody who's listening live right now. We have, what do we got going on here? Over 1,700 people listening live. First AEW review here on the YouTube channel. So shout-out to everybody in the chat. I do appreciate the hell out of everybody who is tuning in here tonight. I just want to check real quick here and see what's going on in the Super Chat section. Kinginator NZ, thank you very much. And Casey is Raw. Thank you for the $2 Super Chat. Very much appreciated. Hangman Adam Page against the Bastard Pac. I'm so happy that everybody now is calling him Pac just so people will shut up and stop yelling at me. I've been calling him Pac for months. And people were like, oh, I wish Solomonster would stop calling him Pac. It's not Pac, it's Pac. And I said, listen, Excalibur went on Twitter about a month ago. He was also getting yelled at. He said, look, I went to Pac. And I said, dude, how do you pronounce your name? And he said, it's pronounced Pac. So don't yell at me, and don't yell at Excalibur. Go yell at the Bastard. That's what he calls himself. This was the match that we were supposed to get at Double or Nothing before politics got involved or visa issued, depending on who you believe. We got it at an indie show overseas instead, I think a week before Double or Nothing. I thought this was good, but this was not at the level of... I don't even think this was at the level of the match they had on that indie show back in May. And this was not on the level of Pac and Omega at All Out, but it was still good. The crowd was hot for it. Pac was able to hit a low blow. He used Earl Hebner. Earl was the referee, and he used Earl as something of a diversion. Low blow. Page laying flat down on the mat face first. Pac hits a red arrow to Page's back, and then locks him in the Brutalizer submission, the same move he used to beat Kenny Omega. And here he got Page to tap out very quickly. Page did not waste any time. He tapped out. That means Pac is now 2-0 in AEW. He is undefeated. And Adam Page now is... would you call 2-0, or I guess 0-2, would you call 0-2 a losing streak? Does it have to hit a certain number of losses before it's considered a streak? Is 3 the magic number? Because I think he's already on a losing streak. So he's not doing too well, is Adam Page. I think he's right exactly where he needs to be. I think it would have been a mistake to put the championship on him at All Out. I was very happy they put the belt on Chris Jericho. I thought it was the right choice. Because, you know, Page could be a champion one day. You got to build him up. Take your time. Build him up. So if he's going to lose and lose and lose and lose and do some kind of redemption story with him, that's fine. You got plenty of time. There's no need to rush. Dr. Britt Baker, not wrestling on this show, but out to do commentary for Nyla Rose against Riho to crown the first ever AEW Women's Champion. This crowd was alive down the stretch. They were into a lot of the near falls here in this match. I think that's more just a testament to them badly wanting to see Riho win that title, even though they were in Nyla's hometown. That being said, as hot as the crowd was in the last few minutes, I didn't think this was very good. I didn't think it was really anything special. There was one cool moment. Riho was up top. She did a huge dive. And she's not a big girl. I don't know how much she weighs. She's tiny. huge dive off the top rope, out to the floor, and Nyla Rose catches her and then drops her on her knee for a backbreaker. Nyla grabs a chair, which is pretty stupid to do, given that you're wrestling for the championship. It is not a no DQ match, so not a lot of brains, apparently, and goes to use the chair, doesn't use the chair. Instead, she grabs more chairs out from under the ring. She creates this pile of chairs in the aisleway. She lays Riho on top of the chairs, jumps up onto the apron, hits a cannonball senton off the apron to the floor. Riho moves out of the way, and so Nyla connects with nothing but steel. I'm sure that sucked for her. Riho follows up, double foot stomp off the apron, gets Nyla back inside, hits another foot stomp, this time to Nyla's spine. There was a Northern Light suplex by Riho. Now, you know, Riho's a small girl. Nyla Rose, not so small. And Riho hit a Northern Lights suplex to Nyla Rose off the top rope. Great near fall. Riho follows up, running double knees for the 1-2-3. And Riho is your first ever AEW Women's Champion. That surprised me. Like a lot of other people, I was convinced they were putting that title on Nyla Rose. She has been pushed. She has been promoted. She has been on the advertising. She's been, I mean, front and center as one of the big stars, the big names being promoted in AEW, in her hometown. Although, if this were WWE, her being in her hometown should have been a dead giveaway that she was not going to win. But that surprised me. But I think it was the right outcome. I'm very happy with the result. Riho, look, Riho is just a better wrestler. I mean, that's just an objective statement. She is a better wrestler. You know, if we're going to compare the two, she's young. She's only 22 years old. She's very young, but she's very good. So I thought it was the right move to make. Michael Nakazawa comes into the ring. Why, I have no idea. He comes into the ring to interview her, to interview Riho, until Nyla Rose attacks him from behind. She gives him a double clutch Liger bomb, almost dropped him the first time, but was able to muscle him back up, hit the power bomb. Now Nyla's out on the apron. She's threatening to do something very evil to Riho until Kenny Omega comes to the rescue and Nyla bails. Kenny looking after his favorite Joshi. He's probably as much a reason why Riho and some of the other Joshi wrestlers are even part of AEW. He's a very big fan of theirs. I know he's done shows over in Japan where he's teamed up with them. He probably scouted all of them. He may have handpicked Riho to be part of the AEW roster. So I thought it was quite appropriate that he would be the one to go out there and sort of rescue her in a way. Just going to put the slide up on the screen right now. You're going to be seeing the phone number. I am going to be taking calls in a few minutes when I wrap up the review. So for those of you who want to stick around and try to call in or just hear that portion of the show, there's the number, 989-282-SOLO. For those of you who would like to give that a shot here in just a few minutes. We have Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks in the main event against Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. Don't call them LAX. LAX owned by Impact, so they are not allowed to take that name with them. Whereas there are other people. You know, one of the cool things I will say about Impact, they instituted this a couple of years ago. They do allow their talent, or their newer talent anyway, to take their name and likeness with them if they leave. That's why EC3 was able to come to WWE and be EC3, which I'm sure he wishes he did not do every day that he wakes up. Maybe not if he looks in his bank account, but some people it's about more than just that. But LAX is one of those names that goes back to the early days of Impact. Long before Santana and Ortiz, you had Conan and you had Hernandez. You had Homicide. So they couldn't take the name with them. So right now they're just Santana and Ortiz. And that's fine. I mentioned Private Party earlier. I was very happy to be able to call a couple of LAX matches in House of Glory and see these guys up close and what crazy bastards they are. I say that in the nicest way possible. They're a very talented team. It goes to what I said before about them having a really strong tag team division, and they're going to be a very big part of that. Justin Roberts announced that the match was going to be taking place here with television time remaining. It's like, God, I haven't heard that in years. Talk about a throwback. Jericho teased starting out with Omega. He decided against it, tagged out to Santana. There was an early Walls of Jericho attempt. The Bucks came in. We got our first super kick party on TNT. Kenny Omega's in the ring. He's kneeling down. He's teasing the rise of the Terminator, right? He's going to do his big dive. All of a sudden, the crowd comes alive, and we see Jon Moxley standing behind Kenny Omega. Omega turns around. Moxley attacks, looking fine. He didn't have a pad or a brace on his elbow or anything. So hopefully he's all healed up from that staph infection, because that's nothing you want to fuck around with. They brawl through the crowd. They brawl all the way back into this VIP lounge. And Moxley hits this lifting double arm DDT, the Death Rider. He hits the elevated Death Rider through the glass coffee table. He puts Kenny Omega's head through the glass coffee table. Was it gimmicked? Was it not gimmicked? I don't care. It's a stupid bump to take. Cool to watch. It was pretty badass to watch. I'm glad I didn't have to take it. Whenever you get glass involved like that, I just think back to Goldberg and what he did when he fucked up his hand on the limo in WCW and how stupid that was. So I always cringe when glass is involved. But I will say, it sounded great. It looked great. I didn't see any blood or anything, but hopefully he's okay. So that was a hell of a spot. And a hell of a way to put, you know, heat on their feud going into the next pay-per-view. So let's skip ahead to the end of the match here. I don't need to get into all the ins and outs. The Bucks had, it was one of the LAX members. They had him. It was either going to be an indie taker, maybe a Meltzer driver. We'll never know. Jericho caught one of the Bucks coming off the ropes with the Codebreaker. He hit the other Buck with the Judas effect, scored the pin. Chris Jericho gets the win. So Cody runs down. Sammy Guevara runs down after him. Dustin Rhodes, he runs down. Place comes unglued. Now people are amped up. Now they're getting excited. They know the show's about to go off the air. Guys are running down to the ring. It's a giant brawl. The announcers point out this next person who makes an appearance. They call him out by his real name. Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger, under his real name, Jake Hager, shows up. He goes after Cody. He's beating up the baby faces. This was a chaotic finish. Hager is laying out the Bucks. He's laying out everybody. And he's a big dude. I mean, it's still, at the end of the day, it's Jack Swagger. But he is a big dude. Laying everybody out. Loud "We the People" chants. The heels stand tall over the baby faces. Gut-wrench powerbomb by Hager to Dustin. They called it a podium. I don't know if it was a podium or just the timekeeper, that little tiny timekeeper's table. They brought this podium into the ring, and he gave him a gut-wrench powerbomb. Table didn't break. Heels hold up Cody. Jericho hits the Judas effect. A wrestling show on TNT ending with a brawl with Tony Schiavone on commentary. Just feels right. Some things never change. Some things never change. Now, the Swagger thing. Let me talk about this real quick. When Jack Swagger showed up in Lucha Underground, I was a big, big Lucha Underground fan. I was not excited to see Jack Swagger in Lucha Underground. It was such a mismatch. Just Jack Swagger. The idea of him in Lucha Underground to begin with never made any sense. And I can't remember any really great matches he ever had. He had some good ones, I guess, but I can't remember any truly great matches that he had. But they pushed him to the moon. In fact, I correct me if I'm wrong, I should remember this. But he may well go down as the last Lucha Underground champion, if my memory serves. But I was not his biggest fan in Lucha Underground. So I can't sit here and say, oh, well, now he's in AEW, and that's so much different. At the end of the day, it's still Jack Swagger. And I can't look at this as being all that big of a deal. I can't sit here and say that I'm that much more excited now to see him than I was when he popped up in Lucha Underground. But the one thing I will give them credit for, unless Jim Ross just was talking out of his ass, and I trust that he wasn't, they, on commentary, were positioning him as almost as Jericho's heavy as they were going off the air. Like his hired gun, his insurance policy. That role, I can get behind. I think that could work. Him being the muscle behind Jericho, or the muscle of a heel faction, because you had Jericho, you had Hager, you had LAX, you had Sammy Guevara. They were all in the ring celebrating together. I don't know if that's a new group or what, but if that's going to be his role, I think that's a good role for him to be in. That I can get behind. Him as any kind of headliner, main eventer type, I can't get behind that. I just can't. I can't get excited for that. So That was AEW on TNT. I've got a lot of tweets and a lot of messages that, you know, after this first week, boy, NXT sure whipped AEW. I thought that it was a really good first effort. I'll reserve judgment on who won the night until I get to see NXT. It's not fair because I haven't watched NXT yet. And the ratings tomorrow are going to be very interesting, head-to-head for the first time. AEW had a preview special, I think it was last night, on TNT. It was not very well promoted. It was not very well promoted or very heavily promoted. And it was just a preview show. They did 631,000 viewers. That's a damn good number. And if a preview special did 631,000 viewers, anything less than that would be a huge disappointment. So the predictions, like one of my original predictions was, I figure, they'll probably do 500,000 viewers for the first show. And that's a good number to start with, and they can grow. Well, if they turn around tonight and do 500,000 viewers, then they were outdone by a preview special. So 500,000 would not be good. That would not be good at all. 631,000 viewers. When I heard that, I was very surprised. I did not expect a preview special to do those kinds of numbers. You would think that this show tonight could do close to 1 million. You know, but NXT, they went all out with their show tonight. They booked that thing like a takeover. Plus, don't forget, you have the wild card baseball game. You got maybe at least a couple million baseball fans probably tuning into that game. So it's anyone's guess. Anyone who tells you they know what the numbers are going to be, they're full of shit. Nobody knows. And tomorrow we'll tell the tale, head-to-head for the first time, of what things may look like going forward. So let's check the Twitter poll results so far. I'm bringing them up live this time. So this should be the results of the Twitter poll in real time. You can vote still. The poll is up right now on my Twitter, @Solomonster. And there you see them. And the poll's only been up not even an hour. We've already got almost 3,000 votes. Holy shit. 88% thumbs up, 12% thumbs down. There it is. The people have spoken. And I don't disagree with that. Like I said, I thought this was a very good first effort. You know, it wasn't a perfect show. There's room to, you know, again, do a better job of explaining to people who these people are, why you should care about them, people getting more promo time. But I thought that this was a very strong first effort, and so far the voting results are reflective of that. Garrett, the floor is yours.
Thanks. Like I said, people were like going nuts in the arena when Rio won the women's title. The opening match, I'd probably say, was the most well-received the whole night. I got to say, though, when it comes to debuts, I got to say Jake Hager's debut to AEW was kind of like Lex Luger's debut on Nitro, in a way, just for comic relief. I think there was like a lot of laughter when they saw him post on the beatdown men of the show. As for me, I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping to see like the Hart Foundation actually form with Chris Jericho as the leader. That would have been a good, you know, way to start out the show, you know, having a faction that's already established. But, you know, LAX, Sammy Guevara, and, you know, Jack Hager, you know, being part of like Jericho's faction, I think was a good way to start out the programming for the next few weeks.
Yeah, you know, again, I was just talking about having Hager on the show, and it's just going to take a while, I think, for them to convince me that I should have a reason to care, because there's never really been anything about him, even when he was being pushed in WWE, which didn't last very long, but there was never anything about him that screamed like main eventer, right, or headliner. He's a big guy, and, you know, he's got an amateur wrestling background, so he can wrestle, but there was always just something missing. So that's why when I look at him in this role, if he's going to be a bodyguard or a heavy or whatever you want to call him, I think starting out, that might be the best role for him. You making the Luger comparison just kind of made me sad. And now you're going to get a lot of people angry at you because they're going to think, that's quite the fall off in star power there. If you're going to compare Lex Luger to Hager, but you know what? You're not wrong. I guess if people were looking for a big debut tonight, it wasn't CM Punk. It wasn't some other big name. It was Jake Hager.
Yeah, pretty much. And another side note, when it comes to merchandise, SCU like sold out all their DC shirts. They only had like small shirts available, so SCU was definitely over when it came to their theme shirts. But other than that, most of the merch, I think, pretty sold out pretty quickly in the building. And there's some merchandise they still have at stand, but I think that everyone else, you know, T-shirts really sold well in the arena. And I think that more people were happy with when the event was over. And they end the show with like three dark matches when the show closed off the air, which was mostly tags. But most of the people were excited to stay by and watch them.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about that, too. Was there anything that happened when the show was over? I mean, either in terms of matches or if somebody, you know, cut a promo or something that we didn't get to see that you did in the building.
Out of the two out of three matches I was able to see before I left, they were mostly tag matches. There was an eight-man with the Lucha Brothers and tagging with Angelico and Jack Evans, going up against Private Party and Best Friends with you at ringside, I think, doing a dive in the middle of the show. And by you, I mean Orange Cassidy, just to, you know, clarify for people.
Of course.
I think the Lucha Brothers won that one with Angelico. And by the next match, it was B. Priestley teaming with Penelope Ford against Britt Baker and Ali. I left midway during the match, so I do not have the finish for you or one. But I would venture to guess the last match was also a tag match of some kind, you know, just to send the crowd home happy. But other than that, you know, they had like about almost 10 matches on this show on and off. Like, as before the show, they had Darby Allin going against Shima, and Darby won, and that was a good opener. And then later you had a few matches here, then later you had three matches in the show. So this was a very match-driven show for most part.
Well, let me ask you one more question before I let you go. Looking at the entire card, start to finish, who would you say, if you had to pick one person, one team, who was the most over on the entire show?
Well, I would probably have to venture that when it came to like reaction to a victory, I would think that Rio had like the biggest pop out of the whole night. I never seen like grown men jumping to other men's arms after a title win, especially when you're in the bleacher section. That's kind of a dodgy thing to do when someone can accidentally drop you or some kind. But yeah, there was a lot of like reaction to Rio's winning the women's title. And even when John Moxley popped out, there was like a large buzz when he came out and started brawling with Kenny Omega. And other than that, everything else was pretty solid from the crowd reactions in the building. So, but I would probably have to pick out Rio just from the people in my section losing their minds whether she won the title.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate the feedback, and I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
Hopefully they can maintain the momentum going forward, of course. That's the most important thing for them.
Well, it's important for them. It's important, I think, for wrestling in general. Hopefully we can have some decent competition going forward.
Sure thing.
All right, take care. So thank you to Garrett for calling in. It's always good to get the live perspective from the show. Before we go, we're going to take a few more calls, but I just want to switch slides here. And I want to make sure that the settings here on this slide are perfectly fine. Okay, we should be in business here, because I know the lines are all jammed up. I apologize if you are trying to call in. There's only so many lines, and they're all jammed up at the moment. Let us go to, we have Travis in Ohio. And again, chat, if there's any issues, I'm sure you guys will let me know. But Travis, you're on the air.
My dude, Mr. Cassidy. Oh, wait. I mean, my other dude's a monster. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Who would have thought 24 hours I was on Booker T's Hall of Fame, and now here I am, the solemn mark that I am, being on the Sound Off
for the very
first time.
Well, I'm sure this is a much bigger deal than being on Booker T's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, I'm a solemn mark, so what can I say?
Oh, there you go. That's not a bad thing to be.
That should be a T-shirt. Would that be okay with you?
We'll see. I'll have to give that some. I might be able to put something together. I'll give that some thought. But what did you? I assume you must have watched the show tonight, at least this one. So, what did you think of the first effort from AEW tonight?
Awesome, awesome effort from AEW. They exceeded expectations. Cody and Sammy Guevara, I would actually say, is a match of the year candidate. Before I get to my question, do you mind if I just tell you a couple more thoughts about the show?
Sure.
All right. Well, Allie was my favorite in Impact Wrestling for so long. Kind of bummed out. I really would have loved to have seen her become the first women of honor, All Elite women's world champion. I'm not sure if you were watching Impact during her time, but she was so over, you know, almost like kind of like how Bayley was in WWE, only Impact handled her better than WWE handled Bayley at first. But I think she would have made a hell of a first women's world champion, a fantastic wrestler, a lovable, easy-to-get-behind character. You didn't know, but I've actually did a seminar with her and Braxton Sutter a couple years ago before Bound for Glory when they were in the indie show in my area near Cincinnati. I actually got to spar with her, and she made me look like a decent wrestler, so what does that tell you?
Well, I don't know what your expert level is, so you tell me. I mean, was that is she a miracle worker or not?
Oh man, I think me and Sutter had a great match, but she made me look great. Imagine Jericho trying to make I don't know Baron Corbin look great.
Well, that's Baron Corbin has improved quite a bit, so that's not the best example to use. But again, tell me just your top line. Overall, quick thoughts, your impressions, first AEW on TNT tonight, thumbs up, thumbs down, what did you think?
I give it a big thumbs up. I liked it. It was great, especially the opener and the Pac match. So to my question, do you mind a two-parter, both pertains to AEW?
Sure, just make it quick because we got a lot of people waiting in queue.
Sure. Well, first off, I may be the only person on the planet thinking of this guy, but I would love to see AEW pick up a Matt Sydal. I think Impact Wrestling did a huge disservice in letting him go a few months back, and I just think he would be a fantastic get, and they could use him as a top guy, I think. He's still young enough. He can go. He can have a great match with anybody. So do you agree with me there? And do you agree with people thinking it's only a matter of time before Cody makes himself into another Triple H or Jeff Jarrett clone, like people are saying, even though all three are great talents? I don't personally see it, but what do you think there? Thanks for your time, Solid Monster.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Sydal, you know, he's a talented guy, but I can't say that he really is going to – he's not going to be a game changer on the roster. He'd be another good hand to have. You know, you can have good matches. You could put him in there with some of the other guys on the undercard, or even like a Darby Allin or Angelico, Evans. He kind of is in that mold. I don't think they need him, but it can't hurt to have somebody like him. I just don't see him as any kind of game changer. As far as Cody being a Triple H, yeah, I've heard those same comparisons. You know, and he, look, he's challenging for the championship at their next pay-per-view. So you're going to get those comparisons, but I think he's got a ways to go before we can officially say he is the Triple H of AEW. I can see why people would say that. I still think it's very early. You know, Triple H, it was years of him kind of ascending the ladder and the stories that came out about him and then, you know, the long title run. We haven't gotten that yet in AEW, so I think it's a little ridiculous, I think, to be making those comparisons yet, but let's talk again in a year. Who knows? Who knows how different things may be in a year? Let's go to Ryan in Philadelphia. Ryan, do I have that right? Are you in Philly right now?
Reading, Pennsylvania.
Reading, Pennsylvania. Why did I think you were in Philadelphia? Would you rather be in Philadelphia?
I'd rather not be in Pennsylvania, period. That's a whole other story.
That's a great answer. What did you think of the show tonight?
The show was great. I enjoyed the show. If I have to nitpick a little bit, I guess, you know, sometimes, you know, when they would go to commercial, it'd be a little like out of nowhere. I think there was that one where I forget which match it was. The match just ended and they were in the middle of talking. They went to commercial. So that was kind of weird a little bit. That's just strictly nitpicking. Everything else I thought I enjoyed. I was wondering if Brandon Cutler might have actually hurt himself there for real in his match, because that kind of seemed like that ending came out of nowhere, too.
No, I mean, it was kind of weird because I expected MJF to maybe kick him in the knee or something and then, you know, put his finish on, and
yeah,
the knee never really came into play. It's possible, but I didn't get that sense. I just saw it as part of the match.
And do you think that it could have been a mistake not having Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy on their first show, considering they're probably the most popular tag team aside from the Young Bucks.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking that earlier. We got to see SCU. We got a brief cameo from the Lucha Bros. We saw LAX. So it was probably just a case of them not having any room. I did expect them to be somewhere on the show. Maybe their attitude was just save some for next week. But I was a little surprised, because if you watch any of their recent pay-per-views, they were the most overact on the show. You know, Luchasaurus.
Absolutely.
Look, I love them as a tag team, but one day he's going to be a big single star. To not feature them at all on the show tonight was a little surprising.
It was. It really was. That was the one, probably the most surprising thing for me throughout the show, that they weren't on it. But I know you have a lot of other callers on the line, so I'll get off here. This is what I'm going to mention quick. As a Yankee fan, I'm more than welcoming you on the bandwagon for the postseason, so you have someone to cheer for. We'll have a great care package for you. We have an Aaron Judge t-shirt, all that fun stuff.
Really?
You're more than welcome to come on.
Mm. Well, I'll have to think about that. It's been a while since I've had a reason to get excited about the postseason, but I shall take that under advisement.
Have a good one, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. Yeah, you had to go ahead and remind me of that. Yeah, the Mets got hot towards the end of the season, but they waited too long. It was too little too late. Too little too late. Now I'm stuck watching Houston and Atlanta. Ugh. Let's take a few more. Let's see. Let's go to... I believe we have an international caller. We have somebody from the
Hello.
UK. Hello. Hello. Yeah. Who is this? Who am I speaking with?
My name is Jamie. I'm a big fan of All Elite Wrestling. I think tonight's show was one of the best shows I've seen for years. I was a big WCW fan back in the day when there was Hulkamania and people like Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, and them days, I miss them days. When WCW died, I started crying. It was like my 90s was over for me. For personally, it was like a big slap in my face. And okay, the attitude was okay, but not the best in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the show tonight, though?
I stuck on. What?
Did you see the show? Because I know you're overseas. I don't know exactly where you are in the UK, but were you able to watch the show live, or were you not able to actually watch the show yet?
Yeah, I watched it live on the Fight TV.
Oh,
app.
You did. Okay. What did you think of it?
At times, there was some awkward moments. It was weird because I've never seen a setup like that, because there was times when they went to the breaks for you, but we were still live and we could see the crowd, and you felt there should be somebody saying something to the UK fans, and like, it was a bit weird. It was, I can't explain it. It was like pauses, but we could still see them in the ring.
Well, let me just cut you off there, because again, I appreciate you calling in. We got a lot of callers waiting in queue, but I'm glad you called in, because it does give me an opportunity to mention this before I forget. For those people who may not have seen this on Twitter today, all of the UK fans out there, ITV heard your displeasure. Tony Khan said that he was going to work with them to fix things. People were very upset when the UK announcement came down last week. And so the announcement initially was that Dynamite would be airing on a four-day delay on ITV4 on Sunday mornings at 8:20 in the morning. Not exactly an ideal time slot. They have improved things. Not perfect, but they have improved things greatly. You still won't be able to watch the show live unless you pay to do so on Fight TV. But instead of having to wait 4 days, you will now be able to watch the show the very next day, on Thursday, in the ITV Hub at 7 p.m. Beyond that, they're going to be re-airing the show on Fridays at 11:20 p.m. on ITV4, which is pretty slick, you know, putting that on the same night as SmackDown. And then re-airing the show again on Sundays at 8:20 a.m. And they're also going to have a one-hour highlight show on Mondays at 11:45 at night on the main ITV channel. So definitely an improvement over the way things were last week. I give them credit. You know, they heard the backlash, and they worked their asses off to figure out a solution to make it better. So I know a lot of UK fans were commenting on social media how happy they were to hear that news. So I'm glad I took the UK caller, because I almost forgot to mention that. But there you go. So let's take a few more here. We've got Omar in Massachusetts. You are on the air.
Hey, so Monster. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. I'll try to make it quick. I'm a Laughs fan. I haven't watched WWE in about a year, except for the big shows. So when this came along, I decided to give a shot. Overall, it was a solid effort. I liked it. I probably got... I will go next week to the show in Boston. Just thought that like a couple of things irked me out. I like the intro and like the package for like Cody and Sammy Guevara, like the whole like introduction to why they're fighting and stuff like that. I would have liked to seen that in some of the other matches that they promoted on the show. Would have like given us like a backstory on why these guys are fighting. Some of the cuts to the commercial break felt a little bit iffy to me. The music and the mics didn't sound a lot of the times like you couldn't hear the background music when the rest of them making an intro or somebody's cutting a promo or something, barely would listen to that. Some of the camera cuts to the crowd, that's one thing that I didn't like in WWE, and I felt that that could have been done better. Obviously, it's still the first show on TV, so they will get better at that.
But it looked big league, like, and that, you know, that was one of the things that I was a little worried about, and I was happy to see when you watch the show, it looks like a major league production. You don't watch it and go, oh, you know,
yeah,
the quality, it looks like something that was shot in a warehouse, or it looks minor league, and that's important, I think, going forward. If they're going to compete, if there's going to be any kind of, you know, competition, they have to come off as being on the same level production wise so I thought that at least for them was a win.
Absolutely, I agree here. Like I said, it's a work in progress. I think it's a good start for them. I think it's like a 7.5, 8 out of 10 show. Like I said, that's the main takeaway. One question though about the main event. I don't know if I didn't hear you or something, but when John Moxley interfered, I thought that they would have like made a better explanation why it didn't go to a DQ.
They didn't, and I have to assume the reason why was they quickly brawled out of the ring and into the crowd. It is a lapse. I mean, look, if you're going to promote a product that's going to be more sports oriented and wins and losses are going to matter, that's a sort of kind of typical old school wrestling shit that you've got to figure out a way to better explain to your audience. And I felt like, I agree they could have done a better job of that, but I just chalked that up to he popped up in the ring, they quickly brawled out of the ring, they went to the back, 6-man tag, they have a license to, you know, push things a little bit, and they just let the match go on. But no, they didn't really bother, unless I missed something, I don't think they bothered to explain anything away on commentary.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been done better. My, like, only gripe with it is, like, if there's, like, a brawl and, like, the referee gets distracted and Moxley comes and takes out, like, Omega to the outside, that would have been a better explanation for why, like, the referee, like, didn't see it. I like this. I like the ending. It's just, like, one of those NWO-style brawls at the end with the heels taking out the baby faces. It would be interesting seeing Chris Jericho in a faction, because I don't remember him being a part of a faction before. He's like always had a tag team partner, but never really a faction guy.
Yeah, that's a good
before.
Point.
So it would be interesting for that.
Yeah, no. That's actually that's a great point. I'm trying to think, and thank you for the call. But I'm trying to think at any other point in his career. Yeah, he's been part of tag teams. We've seen him with Benoit. We've seen him with Christian. But I'm trying to think Jericho in a faction. I find it impossible to think that between WCW and WWE, and, you know, he came to WCW in 97, maybe 96, That's a long time. Was Jericho ever in a faction? I mean, he said partnerships with Kevin Owens. I'm trying to think. I don't think he has been. That's kind of incredible, actually. And they didn't confirm that this is going to be some new group. It just sort of seemed that way as they were going off the air. I'd like to see it. I actually think Jericho will probably be very entertaining if he's sort of the leader of a new heel faction. I'd be down for that. But I can't think. I mean, somebody will correct me in the chat if I'm missing something. I cannot remember a time that Jericho was just part of some kind of giant, you know, 3, 4, 5 member faction in WCW or in WWE. We have a caller here in Oklahoma. You're on the air.
Good evening, Orange Cassidy wannabe. Oh, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I just wanted to just give my overall thoughts about AEW. And
right, get up a little closer to the mic. Get up. I don't know if you're on your phone, but get up a little closer to the phone. You're a little low.
I am. Okay. Sorry, that's a problem with my phone here. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that. Just want to give my thoughts on AEW. I thought it was a really good show, especially given its first outing. Probably the weakest thing for me was the women's match. Not so much because of the David versus Goliath deal, but it just felt slow and took time to build up compared to like the beginning match. What do you think about that?
As far as the women's match?
Yeah, but do you think it was kind of a slow build-up or just a clunky build-up compared to Cody and Sammy Guevara?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair thing to say. I mean, I said in the review, I didn't think the match really was all that good. And then as it approached the end, people got more and more into it. I think the point where Riho hit that Northern Lights off the top rope was kind of a turning point. And really got the crowd into things. That was a little more closer to the end of the match. So it got better as it went on. I just didn't think overall the match was really anything to sing home about. I'm sure Riho has had much better matches. And she's probably had opponents that are a lot more experienced than Nyla Rose. I don't think Nyla Rose is... you also got to consider the size difference. Sometimes big guy versus little guy, big girl versus little girl works. Here, the story, people bought into it. I just thought the match itself could have been better. Let's take a couple more, and then we'll wrap things up here. Fellow New Yorker, let's go to Dan in, is it Niagara Falls, I believe?
That is correct, sir.
Great.
Thank you.
Now, I had Niagara Falls and I had Buffalo in front of me, so it was one or the other, and I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Overall, I thought the show was, a little rough on edges, but I would say it was a solid first effort. It was cool to finally get some alternative to WWE. And I don't know if anybody else can confirm this, but I was watching, Western New York and stuff. I actually got two promotions for SmackDown on, Friday. Like, right before the Pac and Adam Page match, I got, two promotions are promoting, I think, Roman Reigns and Eric Rowan on November 1st. So I don't know if anybody else can confirm that with, if they got, WWE commercials during this.
What a match.
Yeah, it's going to go on for another month.
Yeah.
Got a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Any quick final thoughts? I'm trying to chug along here on the show tonight that you want to offer.
Yeah, I guess the concern about Mr. Hager, I wish him the best of luck. But I can kind of notice, JR was mentioning, oh, he's undefeated in MMA. I mean, he had that one match in Bellator. So my hope is that they don't make him into, Brock Lesnar light or anything. Do you think maybe sticking him with a manager could help? I mean, maybe the guy can, reinvent himself or something. But, yeah, I kind of agree. I don't think he'd be good in the main event. But, yeah, you never know. I mean, look what Cody did and, after he left WWE, he became a big name. So, yeah, that's about all. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, Cody had a career renaissance when he left WWE. He was pissed off. He thought that he should be able to do more than what he was doing. Vince McMahon saw it differently. And he said, all right, well, I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to become a big star. And to his credit, he did. And you don't have to like Cody. Not everybody likes Cody. Some people hate his guts. I don't quite know where the over-the-top hatred comes from. But whether you like him or not, the fact is he's a bigger star now than he was in WWE. And he's part of this whole operation. There's a new promotion now on a major cable network outside of USA Network, outside of WWE. And if nothing else happens from here on out, if this show goes on to flop and 6 months from now it's doing half the audience it did tonight, I mean, who knows? I don't think that'll happen. But even if it did, he's already accomplished, I think, what he set out to accomplish. You know, he proved a lot of people wrong, that he can go out and he could be a headliner and not just some mid-card guy or a comedy act wearing face paint, you know, trying to live in his brother's shadow or his father's shadow. So could Jack Swagger have that kind of career renaissance? I don't know about that. The thing I'll say about Cody, you know, he's got a lot of charisma. He can talk. Swagger, yeah, even his promos, never his strongest suit, right? That's the thing. I mean, there was never really any element of his game that stood out as, wow, you know, Swagger's better than anybody else in the company when it comes to his promos, or wow, he's going out there and he's having these great classic matches. No, he was a guy that was on the roster who could go and, you know, he could wrestle, and there was nothing outstanding about him. Now he's going to have his chance to show people why they should care. Should they put a manager with him? He had a manager once before. I mean, he got the We the People thing over. They were chanting We the People Tonight. You know, him and Zeb Coulter, they made for a good combo. But when he was challenging Alberto Del Rio for the world championship, you know, were there people really looking at him as a world champion, a top guy? If there were, I didn't know those people. I wasn't one of those people. We'll see. He'll have a chance. He will have his shot. Let's go to Puerto Rico. We have Luis on the line. Luis.
Hey, Fall Monster.
How are you?
Hello. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me? Yeah. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was, you know, a great first show. My question is, now that they have, like, their first women's champion, who do you think should be the first challenger for Riho?
The first challenger for Riho. I don't even know what the full women's roster looks like in AEW. I mean, Britt Baker is obvious. She was out there doing commentary. Would they do babyface against babyface? Or is Britt maybe going to turn and be a heel? You know, she obviously is in the mix because she was on the show tonight. Beyond that, I have to sit down and look at the roster and see exactly all the women they have. So I really can't say. I don't know. Maybe the issue with her and Nyla Rose isn't over. Yeah, maybe they're going to have a rematch at some point. I guess we just need more time. They have not established their women's division the same way they've established their tag team division so far. Ridley in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Salamasta. How's it going?
It's going well. Ridley, how are you doing?
Yes, well, as you see, we saw the debut of AEW. And I have to say, it lived up to what it promised. It felt like we were seeing something different, and it felt like we were seeing something new.
It did. No, it did. And I enjoyed the show. Like I said, good first effort. And they're going to have many more weeks to tell people who these people are and show off the rest of their roster, because we only saw a portion. We saw a sliver of their roster tonight. There's a lot of other people they have under contract. And we'll see what happens in the weeks to come. Let me ask you this one question here. If you had to pick one match on the show tonight that you thought was the best or was your favorite, what would that one match be?
Well, seeing how good this show was, it's kind of hard to tell which one in particular, but in my personal opinion, if you were to ask me, I think the best match was like the six man tag at the end, and you pretty much see that's kind of coming accustomed to that. The young bucks are like always in like the best match of the night. But I do have one more thing to say. All I can say to AEW is that this was a good night, and they have an affinity to go. for what they better not settle because they got all these fans pumping up their heads, because you know if they settle, WWE gonna slap them back down just like they do everybody else.
That's true. They gotta have their A game on. Let's see here. Let's take two more. We have, let's see, St. Paul, Minnesota. Go to the Midwest here. Minnesota's Midwest, right? Twin Cities. St. Paul, yeah. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Sweet. Thank you, Fellow Monster. Just quick question. Sure. There was like a thing you said a few episodes ago about like they should do like announcers every hour. So would you be in like mind if they like brought in Mike Tenay, and it'd be like Tenay and Excalibur and like Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone for like the hours?
No, I don't think that's necessary. I mean, you know, I think it's cool that they have Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone working together, and I liked hearing Schiavone on the call tonight. You don't want to run into a situation where you're just filling the show up with old faces from WCW and from TNA. Yeah, Tenay's a smart guy and everything, but there's no need for him. If you're going to do that, because that was an idea many moons ago that I had pitched, maybe have one announce team for Hour 1, have another announce team for Hour 2, you've got Golden Boy, who was not on the show tonight. He was, I think we saw him for the first time at, was it Fighter Fest? He's the esports commentator, who I thought was very good on that show. I think it was Fighter Fest and not Fight for the Fallen. I thought he did a good job. They signed him. He wasn't on the show tonight. Maybe you have, you know, JR and Golden Boy, and you have Excalibur and Tony. Again, I'm just, if you wanted to do separate announce teams, you've got people already who you can do it with. You don't need to bring in someone like Mike Tenay. And let's go to Mr. Turner. I believe we have Mr. Turner in Alice, Texas. You're on the air.
How you doing, Solid Monster? This is Will. I'm actually coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. 361 is that's my home address.
Hometown of Shawn Michaels in San Antonio.
Yes, sir. They actually had the TWA, the Texas Wrestling Academy, down here as well. Actually, crossed by. Never gone in, but I've passed by it a couple of times. So
what'd you think of the show tonight?
It wasn't bad. I gotta give it to AEW. They actually brought their A game. I thought the main event, the final brawl, it brought in some great possibilities, and you have a whole bunch of different avenues that you can go with storylines and with a whole cast of characters that you could compete against. And what I mean by that, I mean you have a whole bunch of different ideas of opponents for a whole bunch of different people. My question is for you: is that now that you've seen what's the first one? People have heard a couple of your listeners compare Jake Hager or Jack Swagger, if you will, to Lex Luger showing up on the first Nitro here at AEW's first taping. Do you think there is a possibility that they could build him to a main event, or is he kind of? Was he kind of just brought in for shock value, or as you say, could he be just Chris Jericho's lackey or muscle for the moment?
I think he's likely to be his muscle for the moment. I mean, look, they're going to do something with him. They brought him in. They see value in him. They could try, and they can prove people like me wrong. I'm just saying that as long as he's been around for, he's been out of WWE for a while, but then he went to Lucha Underground. I know he did, you know, the MMA thing for a while, and he still might be. There was never a period of time where he was ever really truly promoted as a headliner or a top guy to the point where people, I think, really truly bought into him in that role. And when you have somebody who's at a certain level for so many years, look at Dolph Ziggler. If Dolph Ziggler had debuted tonight, if he jumped ship, what a moment that would have been. He jumps ship and he shows up on AEW Dynamite. You'd have that initial shock value. Holy shit. You know, I mean, holy shit indeed, because he's one half of the Raw Tag Team Champions. But even if he wasn't, holy shit, Dolph Ziggler's in AEW. And then by week two, are people as excited to see Dolph Ziggler? Just because Dolph Ziggler's in a new promotion now, does that mean that all of a sudden people look at him as being world champion? people see him as being a top two or three guy in the company? No, of course not. Because Dolph Ziggler, who had all the potential in the world, according to everybody, and people who thought he might be somebody like that one day, never got there. Whoever's fault that was, they never believed in him or whatever it was. He never had the chance to really ascend to and stay at that level. And when you're locked in that position for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, how many years has Ziggler been in that company? Going back to the Spirit Squad days. You can't expect that a decade later, all of a sudden, things are going to be so different. Swagger, I think, is in a similar type of situation. So yeah, put somebody with him, or, you know, make him a bodyguard or something, and see where he goes. Hey, Batista was the muscle of evolution until one day the people wanted to see him beat Triple H. They didn't want to see Randy Orton do it. They wanted to see Batista do it. It was almost like he got over by accident. If they're lucky, maybe the same thing will happen with Swagger. Maybe lightning will strike for them as well. That's my view on Swagger. We'll call it quits there. We had some interesting calls here tonight. I certainly hope that you were entertained, good, bad, or indifferent, by the review. My plan is to do this weekly. That was the plan going into it. We had a little bit of an issue with the audio, but that was a setting that was fixed, and so thankfully everything pretty much, for the most part, went smoothly. And so that shall be until I say otherwise. That's going to be the plan going forward. We'll plan to go live every Wednesday night a few minutes after AEW goes off the air. I was debating if I should alternate between AEW and NXT. That could happen down the line. Everything is very fluid right now. So, for example, my plan would be to go live with these things on Wednesdays. Otherwise, keep the Sunday show, you know, intact with everything else. I'm trying to migrate the mailbags over to YouTube, which doesn't mean I won't take any questions on the main sound off anymore, but the vast majority would be part of this new sound off inbox feature that's going to be debuting very shortly here on the channel. I want to take more of your questions, so there'll be an opportunity for that. So there's some cool things coming to the channel. If you're not already subbed, please subscribe. Hit the thumbs up button on this video. I see, what do we got? What do we got so far here? Let me check and see. 258. We could do better than that. Come on, guys. Hit the thumbs up on this video. And thank you to everybody who's been leaving comments in the chat. Anybody who may have super chatted, if I missed you, I apologize. And all the people who took the time to call in tonight. You can listen to the full Sound Off podcast each and every Sunday on thesolemonster.com, Pandora, Spotify, all the ways that you would normally listen to most major podcasts. Let me throw it back over to the poll real quick here. And 3,200 plus votes, 87 up, 13 down. That is an overwhelmingly positive score for AEW. I am very anxious to go back and watch NXT. I'm sure many people probably felt the same way about NXT. It's hard for NXT to have a bad show. And I cannot imagine that NXT tonight of all nights went out and had a bad show. So I'm looking forward to watching that. And I will talk more about that this weekend. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great week. We got a busy weekend coming up. I know that SmackDown premieres on Fox on Friday. And I've got a House of Glory show Saturday night. Be doing commentary for that. Sunday, Sound Off 620. And then Sunday night, back right here, live, taking your calls and reviewing Hell in a Cell, a show that we only have 3 matches announced for so far. I want to do a predictions video. How can I do a predictions video if there's only 3 matches announced? It'd be a 5-minute video. We'll see. Maybe tomorrow on Twitter. They love announcing new matches on social media. Maybe we'll get some new announcements tomorrow. Anyway, busy weekend coming up. I hope you will join me live on Sunday night. And for 620 as well this weekend. Until then, have a good night. Take care, guys.